Rockwood United Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service on this gloomy day. But a friend of mine, just yesterday, she's doing a thankfulness thing because she's in recovery. And one of the things that they will do in recovery is talk about what am I thankful for today. And her thing for yesterday was she's thankful for gloomy days because they help you to appreciate the bright and happy days when they're here. So I thought that was a really nice thing to think of, so I thought I'd share it with you. A couple of announcements. We're back to having Bible study over at Terry and Nora Lee's house. We just finished 2 Peter, so we're going to go into Jude, and we won't take long on Jude because Jude isn't very long, for one thing. And then we're going to go into 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So everyone is welcome to come by for that. At 5 o'clock Wednesday nights over at Terry and Nora Lee's house. If you don't know where they live, feel free to ask, and I can let you know. Also, we do them live on our church page on Facebook. So if you can't come for whatever reason, but you do have access to Facebook, then we have that as an option. Also, I met with the PPR, and we discussed a few things that were going on, and so I just wanted to let people know because I've kind of slacked off on it. I think it was one of those things where I assumed everybody knew, even though I didn't tell anybody. You know how that works sometimes. But I wanted to let you know, if you need to get in touch with me, the bishop is limiting our being at the church. And so a lot of times people might feel like, well, nobody's answering the phone, or you know, they're never around and all that. It's primarily just because the bishop wants us to stay away from the church as much as possible, just to try and help with distancing and all that. So, for one thing, if you call me, there are business cards in the narthex that have my cell phone number. If you call my cell phone, please leave a message, because I get a lot of spam calls from the person who owned the phone before I did. And so if I don't know the number, I don't answer it. But if you call and leave me a message, then I will make sure to call you back. So if you need me, call me on my cell phone and leave me a message, and I will call you back. Also, if you need to talk to me in person for some reason, just set up an appointment. Call me, set up an appointment with me, and we can come here. I know I had some hours on my door, and some people were confused by that, and that's because those hours were pre-COVID, so I do apologize for not changing that, but I'm letting everyone know, if you need to meet with me in person, feel free to give me a call, send me a text, or email, whatever, and we'll set up a time to meet in person if you would like to do that. Also, so everyone knows, annual conference this year will not be at Lake Junaluska. They aren't sure where it's going to be. It may be virtual again like it was last year, or it may just be somewhere closer by, but because of COVID restrictions and all that, Lake Junaluska doesn't want to have such a huge crowd at their facilities at this time. So if anybody was wanting to go to annual conference or anything, you can still go, just I'll let you know when it's going to be so that you can go. So other than that, I don't have any announcements at this moment. So let us begin our worship service today with the chiming of the hour. able to, please stand for our first hymn, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. If you're at home and have a hymnal, it's number 365. And we will be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. Thank you. You may be seated. Oh, wait. Hold on. Sorry. Please remain standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, traditional version, number 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. Let us affirm our faith, this ancient creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Okay, now you may be seated. By the way, y'all, we're getting a new music director here in the next little bit. At this time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I have a few that I have brought with me that I'll let everyone know about. Wanda contacted me yesterday and said that Miss Roberta Wagner was in Roan Medical, and she was admitted because she was septic, had low blood pressure and potassium, and fluid in one lung. So they admitted her, and they're trying to treat those things and figure out what's causing it, all that kind of stuff. So if you'll keep Ms. Roberta in your prayers, I know she would appreciate it. Also, you've heard me talk about Carol Felkner, who is sort of an adoptive grandmother of mine. My mom kind of adopted her as a mom when my mom's mom passed away. So Carol has been having some issues. She's been living by herself, and between improper nutrition and things such as that, it's just gotten to the point where even Carol realizes she needs to go to assisted living. So she's going to assisted living, so just keep her in your prayers for that transition that she's going through. Also, I talked to Miss Marianne Owings the other day, and she's been in Methodist, for those of you who may not know, as she was in there because she had pneumonia, congestive heart failure, and she also had to have surgery to replace the port that they use for her dialysis. And when I talked to her, she had just had her surgery not long before that, and she said that her arm hurt, but they said that it went well, and she seemed to be in pretty good spirits, and she was hoping to get to go home today. She did yesterday? Okay. And so she's doing fairly well, but just keep her in your prayers, and of course keep Alan, and her daughter's name is going to escape me all of a sudden. Laura, man, I tell you. Laura, Alan and Laura, please keep Alan and Laura in your prayers as well. Alan, of course, takes care of her directly, and Laura kind of takes care of her from Arizona now. They're moving to Arizona and everything. So, also, if you will, keep Jane over at Chevron in your prayers. Thank you, Clayton. He's trying to redeem yourself now, huh? She's doing okay, but she had a couple of spells this last week, and but today she was in good spirits and everything, but just asked for prayer for them to figure out what it is that's causing all these things, because they thought they were strokes, but now they're not so sure that that's what they actually are. So also, she has a friend named Carol, who is actually her sister too. Carol has blood clots, about 5, I think they said, in her legs, and so she's getting treatment for those. And then also Linda over at Chevron, if you'll keep her family in your prayers. They just have a lot of different things that are going on, and I know that they would appreciate your prayers. Also, I have a friend named Emma, and she asked us during Bible study, she's actually in the United Kingdom, but she was tuning in via Facebook, and she asked us during Bible study to pray for her Uncle Dennis. He's having a lot of pain. He also has problems with mental clarity, and so she asked for prayer for those things for him. And I also found out just this morning that Jobelle fell this morning at her house, and she claims she's okay, but she just was kind of shaken and everything, and so she didn't feel comfortable coming to church this morning. So keep her in your prayers, if you will. And finally, George's nephew, Kurt, his wife passed away of a heart attack. And so just keep Kurt and his family in your prayers, if you will, during this difficult time. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? All right, well, then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we have many prayer requests today. Many of them are for healing, for Ms. Roberta and for Marianne, and for Jane and Carol and Dennis and Jobelle and many others that weren't mentioned today but have been mentioned in the past, as well as just many others that are on our hearts. We pray that you would be with all these situations, that you would provide comfort, strength, and healing, and that you would help them to feel better and in all things, Lord, to turn to you. We also pray for wisdom as well as comfort for Carol as she moves to assisted living. May you be with her and with her children and everyone involved in that. We also want to pray for Jo Bell. We hope that she is okay. We hope that she doesn't have pain or hasn't broken anything. But we pray that you would be with her and that you would help her to feel better and help her to feel more confident. We know that sometimes when you fall, especially doing something that you're used to doing, it kind of makes you skittish. And so we pray that you would comfort Jo Bell and give her peace. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, we ask that your Spirit would dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray all these things in the holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our next hymn, number 600, for those of you at home, if you have a Methodist hymnal. Wonderful Words of Life, and we're going to sing all the verses. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we want to say a prayer over our tithes and offerings. And as a reminder, as always, you can give through the baskets here and in the narthex. You can mail your check in. Our mailbox does lock. You can also just drive up and drop it into the mailbox. You can also give online on our Facebook page and on our Facebook group. There are links to give online, and it is secure and very simple to give online. You just go in and tell them what church you're looking for, and then they will ask you how much and all that kind of stuff. It's very self-explanatory, very simple if you would prefer to do it that way. And of course, as I say, we can't be here very much, but if you happen to see Minor Wanda's car in the parking lot at some point when you're driving by and want to drop it off, then you may do that as well. But either way, however you choose to give your tithes and offerings, we pray that you would follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and that you would do what God has asked you to do with your tithes and offerings. At this time, let us say a blessing over these tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, as we prepare to give back of those blessings, we ask that you would remind us we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. All right. At this time, we have some special music from, well, Mr. Bill Gaither's here. It was written by him, right? Yeah. This is Mr. Bill Gaither, for those of you who don't know. No? Yeah, yeah. Clayton and Elena are going to sing us a Gaither song, a song written by the Gaithers. He touched me. They're going to play for us. So let us enjoy this time. Thank you, Clayton and Elena. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 12, verses 1 through 17, and then verses 41 through 44. Mark writes, Jesus began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant to them. They struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully. He sent still another, and that one they killed. He sent many others. Some of them they beat, others they killed. He had one left to send, a son whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, They will respect my son. But the tenants said to one another, This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read this scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Then they looked for a way to arrest him because they knew he had spoken the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left and went away. Later they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, Teacher, we know you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we? But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. Why are you trying to trap me? He asked. Bring me a denarius and let me look at it. They brought the coin and he asked them, Whose portrait is this and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then Jesus said to them, Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And they were amazed at him. And then skipping down to verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. The first appointment that I was ever given as a Methodist pastor was over at Asbury Chapel. Many of you know Asbury Chapel. You know some of the folks over there and such. And there was a fellow there that was the piano player forever, Mr. Bob Abston. And Kathy, who attends here, Bob was her cousin, I believe he was. I thought I heard something. But Bob was a wonderful guy, and if you didn't have the chance to know Bob, you missed out on a wonderful human being. Bob was blind. He'd been blind since he was pretty young, but he played piano. He played it very well. His business was working on tuning pianos, things such as that. Sometimes he taught a little bit of piano, and Bob told me, he and I got kind of close, and he told me that he played in a couple of bands here and there in his lifetime. And he was just a fascinating, good-natured guy. And one day Bob told me, he said, you know, every preacher needs to preach one sermon a year about money. No more, no less. And so I try and honor Bob's advice to me. So today I'm going to talk about money. So if anyone needs to leave right now for an appointment that they may have forgotten. No, money is a touchy subject. Money is a difficult subject for us to talk about. Jesus talked about money more than he talked about hell. We talk about hell more than we talk about money. So there's kind of a strange disconnect there. But don't worry, I'm not one of those people who believes that you should guilt trip people into giving money. I'm not one of those people who is going to tell you that if you give the church $5, magically an envelope will appear in your mailbox for $500. It may very well happen that way. I've known people that it has happened for, but I don't believe in all those things. Instead, I want to talk about what Jesus talks about here. The first story that Jesus tells is the parable of the vineyard. It's a fairly famous parable, and the gist of it is that a guy, a very wealthy man, we'll say he's an entrepreneur, he has lots of businesses, and one of his businesses happens to be a vineyard. And this vineyard, he has basically leased out to a bunch of farmers. And the idea is you pay your rent through your profits, basically. And so every so often, this man would send somebody to go and collect his payment. So the first guy shows up, and the farmers beat him up. And then the owner of the vineyard says, okay, that's not what I was expecting. But maybe he got mugged on the way back or something like that, you know. So he sends more servants to try and get what is his. And they beat up some. They kill a few. And finally, he says, you know, I'll send my son. Because surely they won't attack my son. In this culture especially, it's really bad business to attack someone's son. So his son goes, and these farmers come up with an idea. They say, you know, if we get rid of his son, he won't have an heir. And then he'll leave the vineyard to us. What? Why in the world would he leave the vineyard to you? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Yet, this first story is talking, yes, about evangelism and such, but it's also talking about what greed and money does to people. They really think if we kill his son, he'll give us the vineyard. Even though they really have the vineyard. You know, I mean, yeah, they pay rent on it, but essentially they have it. He leaves them alone except whenever it's time to get his portion of the proceeds, right? But that's not good enough. They want more. And they come up with this ridiculous idea that killing his son will get them in his good graces and he'll leave it to him as well. Well, I guess I don't have a son anymore. Now, how many of you, if somebody had harmed one of your children, would be like, well, I guess I better leave this to you, you know? And that's ridiculous. But that's what greed does to people. Mr. Rockefeller has a famous statement. Someone asked him, how much is enough? And he said, just a little bit more. That's the funny thing about money. It's never enough. I don't remember the exact statistics, but a high number of people in the United States live from paycheck to paycheck from all economic classes because they live outside of their means. My mom, I may have told you, she was a legal secretary for 40 years. And one of the lawyers that she worked for, he had a wife that got so in debt that it took years to get out of it. And at this time, he made about $600,000 a year. And that was in the late 80s. So it's a lot of money. But she lived outside of their means, right? Greed does that to people. It causes people to do silly things. It causes people not to think. It causes people to do things that they wouldn't normally do. So Jesus moves on, and he talks about everybody's favorite subject, taxes. Now, the Jewish people didn't like the Romans. For one thing, they didn't like the Romans just because they weren't Jewish. I mean, that's what it was. They didn't like the Romans because they were Jewish. But even beyond that, the Romans taxed them heavily. And even beyond that, the Romans worshipped false gods and did all kinds of things that the Jewish people thought was immoral. And there were always kind of revolutions and revolts going on in Israel. The Romans were always, it seemed like, fighting against the Jewish people for one reason or another. Not necessarily all of them, but some of them. The fact that one of Jesus' disciples is a tax collector, it boggles the mind, because tax collectors were one of the most hated groups of people in Israel. So they say, the people love Jesus, we'll fix him. So they say to Jesus, now Jesus, we know that you're a great and wise man. And, you know, they schmooze him. Whenever somebody comes with a lot of flowery words and all, always wait for the but. You know, there's usually something like, you know, if someone's trying to woo a woman, oh, you're so beautiful. By the way, I need to get my car out of the impound. I was wondering if you could let me borrow some money. You know, that kind of stuff, right? So they come schmoozing Jesus, and they say, should we pay taxes? We as Americans would probably say, yeah, Jesus, should we pay taxes? Americans and taxes are funny things. The revolution, the American Revolution started, it was set off basically because of taxes. That was the ultimate catalyst. It was a little more complicated than that, but that was the ultimate catalyst. The founding fathers felt that taxes should be minimal. And throughout our history, we've had fights about taxes. Other countries don't understand it. You know, other countries say, well, it's a big deal to pay taxes. You get benefits from paying taxes and all that. But we as Americans, we struggle with taxes. And I think part of that is just because our country was founded in realizing that the government is filled with people, which means that it has the potential to get corrupt. And we don't trust the government to disperse tax money properly. Anybody who has ever dealt with the IRS knows what I'm talking about. So they say, should we pay taxes? And all the Americans are going, yeah, Jesus, should we pay taxes? And Jesus says, what kind of question is that? Bring me a Roman coin. So they hand him a denarius. He says, whose picture and whose signature is on this coin? And they says, Caesar's. He says, then you're borrowing this from Caesar, basically, right? Caesar owns it. So give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. In other words, be a good citizen where you are. Just remember that God is first. But then here at the end, the very end of this chapter, and it's important that Mark ends with this because Mark is very fast moving. And anything that Mark puts in his gospel is very important. It tells a story of a little widow. In this culture, widows were poor, most likely. Widows didn't get the benefit of inheriting their husband's estate. That was left to their firstborn son. And if they didn't have a son, a lot of times it was left to the temple or the synagogue. Now, the temple and the synagogue were supposed to take care of the widows and the orphans, but Jesus obviously has some things to say that show us that wasn't always the case. So this widow, she's very poor. And Jesus is watching people put their offerings in. And back then, they didn't have paper money. They had coins. So you can imagine how noisy it was to give your offering, right? And they had guys come up and they said, "Oh, here's my 100 gold coins. I can't afford it, but jingle, 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 jingle. I just, you know, I want everybody to know that I'm giving this jingle, jingle out of the faith in God." And then another guy would come over and he'd get a crowd stirred up and he'd say, "Oh, jingle, 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 jingle. I've got 1,000 gold coins and I can't afford them, jingle, jingle, but look how faithful I am." And then this little lady brings roughly a penny's worth of money, her last cent, and she drops it in the box. She doesn't have anything to jingle, right? Nobody paid a lot of attention to her anyway because she was a widow. She couldn't give them anything. But Jesus noticed her. And it was such an important thing that the Gospels recount the story. Money is a funny thing. Even the perception of money causes problems. My Uncle David one time needed a new car. He was hit in a car, and he got insurance money for it, and he needed a new car. And my Uncle David was not the kind of guy that knew a lot about money stuff. You know, he probably would have bought a Rolls Royce and never realized he was buying a Rolls Royce as long as it was, you know, within, you know, if he found it for cheap on Craigslist or something. I mean, he wasn't the kind of guy that got all excited about that kind of stuff. To him, a car was a car. So he went out, and he got him a new car. And it was an Audi. Now, he got it pretty cheap. And he drove it. He thought, "Well, it sure is a nice car." He parked it out in his driveway, and people started noticing. They said, "Oh, David, sure is a nice car you got there." People started, you know, poking fun at him, talking about him being wealthy, you know, and not letting anybody else have the money and all that. And it's funny, slowly his car went from being parked in the front yard to the side yard to the backyard to the carport, and then he enclosed the carport because he was so embarrassed. Because Uncle David wasn't a wealthy man and he didn't hold anything over people that he was wealthy. He just found a good deal on a car and bought it. But there's that perception, "Oh, look at him," right? A guy that I know who's a pastor over in Nashville, he does online devotionals. And one time he did a devotional talking about God providing. And his car had finally given up the ghost, and he was sending it, and he was saying, you know, that I didn't have a way to get around and all that kind of stuff. He said, "But then a friend of mine was really nice and let me borrow his car." And he's, you know, and he says, "God provides." Well, in the comments, there was a guy from somewhere in Europe, and he says, "Oh, it must be nice to have all that money to have such a huge car." The guy had like a 1984 Cutlass. You know, I mean, and it wasn't even like nice. It had lived all of those years from 1984. Not only that, but this friend of mine, he got it used. Somebody gave it to him. But the perception, especially in Europe where a lot of their cars are small anyway, the perception was, here's this minister, got a big car. Must be nice to make all that money for Jesus, right? And of course, other people were like, "This isn't as impressive as you think it is." You know, they stood up for him. But there's that perception. And it doesn't help that we have people throughout the last few decades that have not helped us with that idea. You know, we all know about Jimmy Swaggart and about the whole Baker thing. And even not that long ago, Mr. Creflo Dollar, who has the best name ever for a prosperity gospel teacher, had decided that Jesus wanted him to get a new private jet, and his board of directors said that they didn't know who he was talking to, but they were pretty sure it wasn't Jesus, and he got upset about that. We get those things, they come in the news, and that's what people think. Pastors are just rolling in the cash. Boy, let me tell you. And not only that, they're tax exempt, which means pastors don't pay taxes. Well, guess what? Pastors pay taxes. I'm just going to let you know, pastors pay taxes. But there's the perception. Money. Is required by God to be tithed. But unfortunately, a lot of people turn it into almost a pyramid scheme. Give me $50, God will bless you with $5,000. Maybe He will, maybe He won't. You don't give to get. That misses the point. You also don't give because God needs it. God doesn't have any use for your money. Any more than in the Old Testament, God didn't require sacrifices because He was hungry. Tithes and offerings are for our benefit. They teach us faith, yes. They also teach us charity, how to be better human beings. How to say, you know, I could really go for a hamburger right now, but I've got food at home. And that guy over there looks like he's hungry. I'll get him a hamburger instead. That's the purpose of giving, of tithing. When you give to the church, yeah, the church pays the light bill. The church pays the taxes that we do pay on some of our property. The church pays for the people that we have on staff. The church pays for, you know, paper and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely. But we also pay for children to go to camp in the summer. Not only do those children learn about Jesus, maybe for the first and only time in their life, but some of them actually get to eat three meals a day at camp. Some of them are in abusive home situations and they actually get to get out of that. Some of them have never been to the woods before. Smoky Mountain Children's Home, we support them. Your tithes and offerings go to support Smoky Mountain Children's Home. They go to support people in poverty around the world, even the United States and third world countries and everywhere. They go to support the hungry. Money is a difficult thing because we as human beings place so much value on it. And there's so much temptation that comes with it. But let me tell you something. There is no greater blessing in this world than taking something that God has blessed you with and blessing another person with it. No greater blessing. Brothers and sisters, we live in difficult times right now. Lots of people need help. And we provide that help. Not because we have to, not because God will punish us if we don't, not because we get more from God if we give more. We just give because it teaches us to be more like Christ. And so I encourage you, give money to church, to organizations, feed people, but give time and give prayer. Because you can give all the money in the world, but if nobody's doing anything, it just sits there in the bank. And if nobody's praying, how will we know what God wants us to do? So, brothers and sisters, this is your one money sermon for the year. And I just want to tell you, don't give for any other reason than because God's beautiful creation is hurting. And He has asked us with Him to bless them. That's a beautiful thing. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day and for the many blessings that You give us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful stewards of all that You give us, of time, of resources, Lord, may we realize that we give for no other reason than our love for You and our love for our neighbor. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And taking them, may you bless others as well. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.